Hallelujah. Amen. Gracious Father, we bless the holy name this morning. Oh Lord, how can we ever, Lord, thank you and praise you enough for all the things, O Lord, that you have done for us, Father. For thou art truly worthy of praise. Thou art worthy of praise. Worthy is thy name. Blessed be thy holy name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that great name of the Lord Jesus Christ that thou hast given to us, Father. Lord, we are called by that name to the family of God. We are here, Father, Lord, for the purpose to come together in that beautiful, wonderful name, the saving grace name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we might identify, Lord, with him in his death and resurrection to be born again, children of the living God, restored and redeemed, O Lord, back unto the Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that grace. We bless you, O Lord. We bless thy holy name. Asking, O Lord, as even now we approach thy word, that, Lord, you break down the word for us, Lord, and help us to see and understand all things that we might have learned before. But, Lord, in all these years of our learning, oh, that we may grow to maturity, Father, and not behave like little children and baby, O Lord. Father, even now, Amen. Have said that we ought to be matured even now, Father, to be able to teach and be able to guide. But, Lord, we still, some of us are still taking in milk, O Father. Time now that we be strong like men and stand on our feet. Father, we ask for your grace now. Grant us, O Lord, this grace to be grounded in thy word of truth, Father. May the faith, O Lord, that thou hast given unto us in this last generation, the faith that was once given unto the saints, O Lord, and that we should contend for it, O Lord, fight, O Lord, against the enemy that come on as a wave after wave, Father, to try to destroy your people, not just here in this little fellowship, but in many places, O Lord, there's so much confusion, O Lord, and complication in life. Because, O Lord, there is lack of maturity, lack of taking heed to the word, Father, lack of looking into your word, Father, and face facts of this life, that this is a pilgrimage, Lord, that is not an easy road to take. For many are the thorns on the way, and there will be a lot of valley, O Father, that we have sometimes descend into, Lord. And that we know, Father, when we are down in the valley, by ways that we can climb up to the mountains, let your hand reach down to us, Father. And lift us up, Lord.
Amen.
And plant our feet on solid ground.
Amen.
High upon the mountains, O Lord, that we might have visions. Visions like eagles who flies high, higher. And the higher it goes, Father, further it sees, O Lord, what's ahead in this life for us that is coming, O Father, upon this world. Things that are coming, Father,
Amen.
That the world will be taken, overtaken, O Lord, by surprise. But we are children not of darkness, but of the light. Anyway, we are children of the light. Father, help us, Lord, to wipe our beams from our eyes, that we may see, Father, the things, O Lord, that is coming, that we might see the glorious coming and the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for his bride. We know, Lord, Father, your only begotten Son, he has to come. He has to return to this earth. Father, you have to send him back. Because, oh Father, Lord, we have waited a long time. It's been a long time. We are waiting, Father. But we know, Lord, there is a reason, Father, not because the Lord is elect in his coming, but that, Lord, there are still others elect out there. And we know there are, Father, and we know when the last one comes in, the door has to close. And then we'll be entering into the state of silence, Lord, as a caterpillar enters into his cocoon. And there will be a revival of the body, there will be a healing, and there will be a putting on of the supernatural things, O Lord, from heaven above, that this body will be changed in a moment and twinkling on an eye. After its revival, they will be taken off like a butterfly flown, O Father, in a one beautiful morning with our Lord in the sky. Lord, we're looking for that. What else do we look for in this life? For the redemption of this wretched body, where there is nothing good in it, Father. Help us, O Lord. Help us to be aware of the hour we live in now. Come now, Father. Holy Spirit, break the word of life to us. We ask for your grace now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, 20 years ago, on the 9th of September, 1990, 24 years ago, I first preached this message. And I listened to the tape, and there was something in the tape that I spoke about. Some many of us, of course, probably have forgotten because after all, it's so many years. The title of this message is Establish Your Heart. And I have also preached it in the last 6 years ago, whether you still remember or not. But I think that this is one message that was also lined up in my list for the rest of this year. Let us go to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1 to 17. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1 to 17. Right, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with fragrance, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love, I'm lovesick. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand then embraced me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle, a turtle dove, is heard in our land. The fig tree put forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth upon among the berries, among the lilies, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of battle. Here we have this subject, establish your heart. And this Song of Solomon is a relationship between the husband and wife. And here, okay, you can see Solomon being a man that were, well, so many wives and concubines, but there is one particular one that he really loved. And you read through these 17 verses, it teaches one thing here. The wife, that we should recline upon the breast of our husband. As you will say here, how that in verse 6, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraced me. Christ Jesus should be the one, always, we should always recline. He put his hand around our head, and with his right hand, he embraced us. And the only thing is that we must yield as a wife to the Lord. And he said here in verse 4, he brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. It shall always be that. He always wants us to come to his banqueting table to share in his feasting, to share in his fellowship with us. He wants to establish your heart, my heart. Many times we are in pain, yes. Here was, you can read through the Song of Solomon many times, and as this this special wife or this particular woman running throughout the whole city of Jerusalem asking, have you seen my beloved? Going around looking for him, searching for him. You know, if we should be just like that, because our beloved is somewhere and he's waiting for us, we should just go look for him. Whenever we are down and out, we feel frustrated. Life is always full of surprises. Everything seems all right. One moment, next moment, and a disaster. I read testimony of people. One by one, the family goes, just like the case in the book of, in the Bible, the book of Job. One moment after another it comes. And there seems no end to it. But you know, in the case of Job, we see the one character in the Bible which God decided to have it written. And we have people asking questions about Job. Now we all know about, well, Friday we talk about the sovereignty of God. What is the sovereignty of God? Why does this thing happen to us? Why does that thing happen to us? We always have questions about life. You know. When we are young, we are all enjoying life. Especially those of you who are in the teens and now in the 20s. Everything seems to be fine. You are in the prime of life. Because you're strong, you're healthy, running around, doing your work, enjoying life. And usually at this time of the period of your life, at this time, is that you wanted to achieve something. And many times we don't think that anything will befall us, because after all we are good health. But once you get to pass, right now, come into my world. When you are hit 50, 60 years old, when you enter into that world, the period, you see a lot of things happen. Your body starts to feel a lot of pain. A lot of things can come. And when things come, he asks, why does this thing happen to me? What I said, why do I have it? Why me? And all of that. But the thing is this, life is full of surprises. Life must come to an end. Because this body is a dying body. Because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. You cannot escape that. I cannot escape that. The only thing is that we keep the body as healthy as we know how. Is that right? A lot of people take care of their health, the physical health, but they don't take care of the spiritual health. And there are those who think so much about their spiritual health and never take care of the physical body. Yet the Bible tells us that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore we need to take care of it. Sovereignty of God. What is the sovereignty of God? The word sovereignty of God, there's no such word in the Bible. But we used it. Denomination, theologian used to talk about the sovereignty of God. Now I want you to establish your heart. Because the Bible tells us about establishing our faith. And our faith should be in our heart. But many a time when we talk about sovereignty of God, well, you know, God is sovereign. Yeah, we know that God is sovereign. He'll do whatever He wanted to. But that doesn't mean that people said, in predestination, He chose so and so to heaven, He chose so and so to hell. God didn't do that. That's not the sovereignty of God. God didn't do that. He didn't choose anybody to heaven. He didn't choose anybody to go to hell. That is not the predestination the Bible teaches. Do you understand that? The Bible talks about election. Predestination is that when God chose you, He predestinated you. When He elected you, then He predestinated you. He did not say, I predestined so and so to hell. I predestined so and so to heaven. No. God's chosen come into play because He knows you before the foundation of the world. He sees everything. Nothing escaped Him. Is that right? But you wonder why God chose you. Sure. And why God didn't choose somebody else? Sure. Because God is sovereign and He knew. He's all powerful and He knew. He knows about your life, everything that we are going to do and will do. And yet by His grace, by His own omnipotent and omniscient mind, if He desires to choose you, elect you to be His child, then He has predestined you unto the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And one thing for sure, if God has started a work in you, He's going to finish it. Even if you have to break your leg. Do you know that? Yes. Because He will never fail in His word. Now I want to say this one thing out here. It's very easy for many of us to say, I have chosen Jesus Christ. No, you have not chosen Him. He has chosen you. He called you. That's why He said, yes, Lord, I give you my life. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Huh? Yet, you know, in all that we talk about the sovereignty of God, remember one thing. We always look at the other side. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Keep our balance in the center. Stay in the line of the Word of God. The Bible also said, chose you this day whom you yourself. Is that not right? Yes. Everything that we do every day, you make the choice. God didn't make a choice for you. Now that you know God, who will you serve? Every day we get up in the morning to the night, to the time we put our head on the pillow to sleep. You make choices. God didn't make a choice for you. You go out there after the service, go to the food court. If you want to eat chicken rice, God did not tell you to eat chicken rice. God did not, you did not say, God, tell me what to eat today. Do you? If you want to eat chicken rice, you eat chicken rice. If you want to eat vegetarian food, you eat vegetarian. That's your choice. If you want to go this way, you go this way. If you want to go that way, you go that way. It's your choice. God didn't make the choice for you. That's why a lot of people think, oh, some Christians say, you know, I'm a child of God. If I'm going doing the wrong thing, God will stop me. God will not stop you. Because you chose to do it wrong. Because you know what is right, what is wrong already. God don't have to tell you anymore. And that's what the Bible says, if you are loved by the Spirit of God, if you are loved by the Spirit of God, then you are a child of God. Don't say that you are a child of God, you will be led by the Spirit. No, you wouldn't. I'm a child of God, God will lead me. No. If you have the Spirit in you, and if He leads you, then you really are His child. How are you led by the Spirit of God? You are led by the Spirit of God because of the Word. Because if your faith is established in the Word, huh? Then, you know what the Word said. You cannot say, I don't know. That's the thing we need to realize. There are always, there are two roads you may take. One by sight and one by faith. One by revelation of what you know. One by sight is what you see. And you want to go that way, God is not going to stop you. Because you know the Word. To the sinner, to the ignorant, they who do not know the Word of God, they do whatever they like. And that is true, obviously. Huh? I mean, with all the knowledge, with all the information in the world today, well, we talk about food, for example. We know what is healthy food, and we know what is unhealthy food. Is that not right? Isn't it? So you make a choice to eat what you want. Fast food, or slow cooking food, or from the pan and the pot. Everyone, every day, we make choices. So, don't say the sovereignty of God is God guide you and guide you into all this and make you move in that direction and you have no choice. That is not true. As Paul said to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. Make a choice. Where you want to follow, what you want to follow. And we have the Word of God to guide us. Is that right? So, remember this, God's ultimate intention in giving you the gospel. What is that? The gospel is only a part of the whole thing. The gospel is not the end of everything. The gospel given to you is the beginning of a new life. And the new life you live, you must live it to the end. People think, oh, I have the gospel, you know, I'm saved, I'm happy, I'm going to have it. Everything is complete. Everything is complete. It's so easy for to say everything is complete. Unless you are just like the thieves on the cross. Then he was a dying thief. Then he got salvation. Everything is complete for him. Because there's nothing else he could do. But while we are in this earth, the gospel is the beginning of our journey. It's a new life. You are born again. You have a new birth. You have a new life. So that's a new life that you're going to live for Christ. And we move on in this new life, giving God the glory in this life. Do you see what all this gospel is about? As often I said, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know, I was just telling you on Friday, the first time I heard that song, just a couple of days ago, in fact. I heard the statement. I didn't know that it was a song until I heard it. The song happened to be on the computer, was downloaded from the internet, and he says, everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. And they talk about Hezekiah in the Bible. You know, he wants to go to heaven, but he doesn't want to die. They were thinking, what is that? And all the time, though, I know that this meaning of the word, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, signifies that you do not want to die to self. You must first die. That's why you go to water baptism. To be dead. To be buried. And resurrected in the name of Jesus Christ, with Christ, to a new life. If you do not die to self, you don't, this old man, this simple man, if you don't die, how can you ever get to heaven? Yet everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. They want to enjoy the life, the physical, and all the carnality that is in this life. It's so sad. You know. So the gospel is just the beginning. God give you this gospel. Give you this new birth. So it's a journey. A journey. So that we can come to the image of His Son. Is that alright? Yes. He, by His election, He has chosen you, me, and then He predestined us to the image of His Son. In order for us to be predestined in the image of Son, He must do one thing. To establish your heart. And for your heart to be established, you need to come to the very one who saved you. Stay with Him and recline upon His heart and listen to His heartbeat. Oh! How can we sin against the Lord time and time again when we simply love Him? How can we deviate from that pulsating heart of God that was beating so hard to give His life for you? No wonder the writer of the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into His beautiful face. Turn your eyes upon Him. Look at His face. Look at the agony of the Lord when He was on the cross. Just look at the agony. You know, I know that Jesus' mother, Mary, was standing there. With Mary Magdalene. And Martha, and they were crying and wiping, looking at the horror that the Son of Jesus Christ, our Lord, has had to go through. Just imagine that. If we ever can see it. It's one thing for many of us to watch the movie, The Passion. And so how horrible that is, and we might weep and we might cry. And after that, it just seems to go away. That imagery that we see, it doesn't stay at all. And I think that we need to be reminded whenever we did something wrong, just turn your eyes upon Jesus and look into His face when He's at the cross. And just to see, just perhaps to hear Him say what He has to say to you and on that cross. You know. Especially the one word when Jesus said, Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me? Eloi, lama sabachthani. You know the pain that he feels that God has forsaken him. Oh my. Just at that moment in time, the whole sins of the world, all the sins of the world, just poured upon him. It must be so terrible that that our Lord felt that God has forsaken him. When the weight of sin just fall upon him. And here, whenever we are down, look into his face. And let us hear his voice and say, "Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away." And he will bring us to the place, oh, in verse 14, "Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs, in the secret place so high, let me see thy countenance, let me hear your voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Let us go to that place where our Lord, our Spirit, the God has given us, our Holy Spirit is guiding us, pulling us to that place, secret place that we may be with Christ alone. You know. Now I want to say this, that in the world is mad. It's gotten so bad. America now is gearing up for war with ISIS. It has to come to this time, to this place. Now, when I first preached this message, 1990, September 9, I told the church, back then you probably forgotten, but still on the tape. I told you in the tape, I said that about a year ago, that is in 89, I was watching the scene of the world. I was watching prophecy, how the four winds of Revelation is going to play out. And back then in 1990, I point back to the year before, I was watching the US dollars, the economy. And at that time, the economy of one US dollar to Singapore dollar is about $1.80. And I told you that the money, that dollar was slight. And it will go down to below $1.60 and will never recover. Now when I heard that tip, what I said, and I did an internet search, because I know that there was a recession in 1992. I told, on the tip I said it's going to come in the next 2 years or so. And I did a search, and true enough, the recession went down to 1992, and the dollar went down to $1.60, and never recovered. And 1990 was a year that America is such a, in a state of trying to recover their economy. And so what did the American government do? Well, you know, they did all those things that bring about war. So that they could sell weapons, so they could fight, so they could bring in the money and try to stabilize the greenback. You know, the American dollar didn't recover. And it's going to go down. Today, I think it's $1 and what, 20 something cents or 30 cents? It won't be another 3 years. They're trying to go to war. Now they want to fight. They're selling weapons to both sides, so that they could kill everybody, kill each other. They want to bring in the one world order. And we have people like George Soros and Monsantos, all these entrepreneurs, all these big guys, financiers, who manipulate the whole world to bring in the one world order. Yes? Because the American president, I think, was supposed to say that we could do it. We are the only country that could bring in one world order. They are being manipulated into the hands of the devil. Put a man of sin on the throne of Vatican. We see the problem that is going in the world today. And with that, religion. What happened to religion? the religion. Look at religion. The religious spirit. It's not just in the dark age when the Roman Catholic Church ruled the whole world at that time and killed 68 million people. But what happens to the religion today? Catholicism now is quiet, very calm, peaceful, trying to save the world. And the Man of Peace will come in to Vatican. But what happened to the other religion? We find out, yes, the son of Hamas. You probably have seen it on the YouTube. Of what he said about the religion of Islam. What he was opposed to Islam. He said it very strongly. Interview on television. And he was out there on the YouTube. He was not afraid to die. He made a very strong statement. You can go ahead and listen to it. And you look at what's happening out there in Syria, Iraq, ISIS. The jihadis, they want to bring in the caliphate. And this is going to go on and on. And we are living in the year 2014, my brother. How many years do you think we have? And you know what? I'm always looking for something in the Bible. There must be something in the Bible, a pattern that I can see, or we can find out, to find out, oh, when Christ is coming. It has been that for Christians, they have been looking into the Bible as to find out when Christ is coming. Is that not right? We all know that Christ must return, and we all want to have Him come, return in our days. So it has been. You look at the Bible, they say He's going to come in 19 such and such a year, 1971, and then 1980 something. No, then 2000 maybe. Everyone is looking for something there. But now the only thing we're looking at is, do we see a pattern that the first coming of Christ and His second coming as related to Israel and the temple of Jerusalem? Would 2017, 2018 be the year of His coming? And would the Jew would have their two prophets on the scene? What do you think to that, sir? We are looking towards that. And look at the problem right now. The world is going to a third world war. Yes. And that Ezekiel 38, 39 war is coming. It cannot hold back. And when it does, where will you be? Are you ready? Certainly we don't want to get caught up in this world when the Lord comes to take His bride away. And there are people that said, no! The church will go through the tribulation. And only after the tribulation is over, then the Lord will come riding white horses. True, there's no such thing as rapture in the Bible. The word doesn't appear. But we need to understand that the rapture is a secret. The taking away of the bride to Christ is a secret going. And we can only see by touch and shadows in the Bible. Right? Even at Jesus Christ, who have told you to run from the route that is to come. Remember, he was talking to the Pharisees. As the wrath of God is coming, you know, there'll be a great persecution. Already we see now in Iraq, there's no Christian there anymore. Everybody has ran out from there because they behave all Christian. Ask them to get out, or they get pay tax or cut off their head. What about in Syria? Same problem there too. Sudan. Yes, in Somalia. That is the religion. That is the religious spirit that has been let loose a little by little. And it's going to come out in full force. The economy is going to go. The Western world will be affected. Here we still could survive. But for how long? Huh? Politician already is on edge. When a politician is gone, with all this complication that comes in, they don't know what to do, and they start pressing button here and there, and then they will set forth the fourth wing. That's the military forces, all going out. And what did Barabbas talk about in his seventh vision? He said in the seventh vision, what did he see? America was filled with craters. And all those seven visions of Brother Ben must come to pass. We already seen the fifth. The car that is like an airship with no drivers, right? Going by itself. It's already in some country putting on the road to tears and all that thing. And the sixth vision, watch it in the next 2 years. Hillary Clinton must come in. If she's not the one, the Catholic Church will have to step in somehow. How close are we at? How close are we at? Alright. Now when we look at the religious world today, they are just filled with all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of deception that is going on. You know, I remember back then there was a newspaper. It appeared in a newspaper article. The headline is, "Tell it simple, tell it straight." And I think that is the thing that we should do. Every one of us. When we are asked, when we are in a discussion or when we are asked a question, whether it's regarding your faith, regarding what you say, what you believe in, let us tell it simple and tell it straight. Don't beat around the bushes. And this is what the minister, a 40-year civil minister, right now, of course, I think probably he's retired. He has one of the government servants worked in many ministerial offices. His name is Giam Tong Do. He said this in the article, "Tell it simple, tell it straight." To me, a free press is not a Tower of Babel. In extremis, censorship is necessary. And that's the reason why in Singapore we don't allow all kinds of media to come out and tell all kinds of funny story, you know. That's why, you know, our senior mentor, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, years ago when he was Prime Minister, you know, you got the Wall Street Journal, the Herald, and all, and ASEAN, whatever paper, you know, they distort the truth. Even Larry King on CNN was distorting the truth about Singapore. In America, there's a whole lot of distortion. Even when we have that, oh, the young man, what was his name, who was Michael Faye. You remember? How he stripped off the signboard, the road sign, the hot sign. You know, you come to a junction, you get a hot sign. He tore it off from there. Bring it to his home. He put graffiti on walls of the public places. And he was given, I think, what, a 5-stroke or 3-stroke? And when it was reported in the newspaper, the American government, American people, that the news media, spread it out. Singaporean government are barbarians. And there are all kinds of things. Oh, he's a young kid. A young kid? America, everybody is young. There's no old people. You commit a crime when you're 40 years old, you kill somebody, the guy is, I don't know what I'm doing, you know. He's a young kid. Because young kid doesn't know what they are doing. You know what I'm talking about? Young kid, I don't know what I'm saying. I didn't know what I'm saying. Come on! You know what you're saying? I know what I'm saying. Tell the truth! Tell it simple, tell it straight! Don't hide behind the bush, because the spirit is getting you. Because there is a lying spirit. Remember one thing. I already said this many times. If you have not seen it, go and read the book entitled "Lying Spirit Goes to Church." And that's one of the things about it. When prayer takes a hold, lying spirit will operate. Because there are many spirits. One spirit will come out there and not just one. Even Larry King said all kinds of things about Singapore. He was invited to come to Singapore. He was afraid. He think that by coming into the airport, he'll be arrested or something. Yet he doesn't know, had no fear. Same thing what he does not know, and that's the problem. Don't say what you do not know. Don't think you know what you do not know. We have that also in anti-message people and a preacher. And the thing that we see in religion today. So that's why we need to help. Because why? The free press, your freedom of expression, don't give you the right to cross the Bible, huh? Do you see that? Now, in 1990, at that time when I was preaching this same message, I happened to be I was in a bookshop, in a Christian bookshop, and they were having all sorts of sale, big signs then, and 50% off. And I just curious, go around walking and just to see what they have. And I saw several books on the shelf, half price, 50% off, only $3 something. You know? And a lot of these books were produced in Singapore. That's why it's so cheap. And I bought two books, by the same author, and one of them is called The Seduction of Christianity. And the second one is a sequel to it, Beyond Seduction. You know? It's talking about how the churches were not staying in Christ and being drifted away. You know. And I read through it, I screamed to it. I didn't really read every page, just, you know, because I know what roughly he said. I just want to know what this man said about how many churches, what he knows about the problem. And through it, the book was talking about, you know, well, not just the book. While I was standing there were so many books, hundreds and hundreds of books. And I flipped to this one and that one, and this one and that one. And many of these books, even right now, if you go to Tech Man bookshop, or whatever Christian bookshop you can find, you will see a lot of books about signs and wonders. Because after the charismatic came upon the scene, they are producing tons of books. Authors wrote books about their experience, about the signs of wonder, this they have experienced, that they have experienced. Wow. They talk about out of body experience. You probably heard about out of the body experience to heaven, visions of demons, angels, and then God the Father, you know, and there's God the Son, two persons sitting there on the throne. I told you one of them said that he was taken out of the body, his spirit was taken out of the body, went to heaven, and he saw, there was streets of gold, literally streets of gold, the holy city was literal. And he had his own mansion with a fountain in front of the gate, just like he said, I always wanted, and the Father know what I want. And no wonder that we have a Tower of Babel in this world in Christianity. You know, Brother Bram said one time when he was preaching on the Holy City, New Jerusalem, says, the way he preached it sounds like it was literal. But yet in another sermon, Brother Bram says, I don't believe they are houses. See, I don't believe they are literal houses. And here we have people in the meantime and said, just go say, the Holy City was literal. Because Brother Bram said so. Brother Bram, you know, says, but the way he preached it looks like he's talking about literal city. Anybody who believes in the literal city must be a dum-dum. Because after all, why do you need a house to live in? This is the house. Remember, even the Word of God was saying, where is the house that you built for me? And the house that God built for the Word was Christ Jesus. And the Word that lives in you now, you are the house of God. And we are all, if any houses, form the whole city. Oh, it's very hard for people to understand that. Not many people believe and preach the holy city. New Jerusalem was a spiritual city. They don't seem to understand it. They don't seem to see it. You know. All right. Okay, so I was looking at all this, I was thinking, I was wondering, when I looked at the boy, I said, wow, this one said he experienced this, experienced that, and you know, and yet you know that there's something wrong with this. And then I was standing there, I was thinking, I said, oh my, I says, Lord, these people might be right and I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because of all this confusion, you can just one moment you think. This one say, even the heavens see, talk to the Lord, Father and the Son, and the Holy City is literal. This one say, he see demon, he went to hell, and they were already screaming there forever and ever, all these years. Something is very strange, isn't it? So I said, Lord, all these things that people are saying here, something is wrong. It might be right, it might be wrong. Where are we going? Which way are we heading? You know. Sometimes we just wonder and think about it. And realize one thing. Thy word, O Lord, is true. So we don't base it on experience. Hey, I've seen this, I've seen that. You know. It's what the word said is true. 1 Timothy, let us go to it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lying and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to merit, commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to receive a thanksgiving, which believe and know the truth. Well, anyway, you know the verse 3 is very well known. The one church that forbids people to marry is the Catholic Church. Forbid the priest to get married. Well, look at the Bible tell us, in the Old Testament, the priest was not forbidden to get married. You know that, don't you? And you know also the same thing in verse 3. Oh, you cannot eat fish on Friday or cannot eat certain thing on Friday. You Catholic will know, right? Once upon a time, you know. You know? And that is exactly what it is. But even now, of course, there are all kinds of strange doctrine coming up. Seducing spirit that get the person to go and follow a certain teaching. But let us go to chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13 and 14. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And that's what Paul told Timothy. Paul said, you continue the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. You don't learn it from some topic and heavy guidance. Paul said, you have learned it from me. You know what is truth. You know. So you continue in those things. Don't move away from it. You know, last night, yesterday, I talked to Brother Niles. He called me on the Skype, on the Bible, and we talked. When I called him, it was about 1 p.m. there in Paris. And he sounds sleepy. I said, what, you're still in bed? He said, yeah, but again. We slept last night. Not last night. We slept this morning at 5 a.m. I said, so what have you been doing? He said, we have such a great fellowship until 5 a.m. in the morning. Shall we not have that? Shall we not have that? You see, he was there. Yesterday was the day when Brother Thomas Sobrak from UK, the brother who said he was fasting and praying, I mean he was a preacher or pastor rather of the Baptist background, Assemblies of God background, and he said, I was fasting and praying for some time, Brother Gann, that I came across your website, and I'm glad that I came across your website. God led me to it. And he said, I have questions to ask you and this and that. So he said, and you know, share with him some questions, share with him and discuss with him. And then, of course, I told him to read the book of the Logos, and then after that, go online and read the download the PDF file. And also, after that reading it, go and look at Brother Nye's testimony. I said, Brother Nye is going to Paris, and perhaps you could go. He said, yeah, maybe I should. So he read it. And then he sent me an email, and Brother got, wow. I said, wow, I've never seen things like this before. You know, the simplicity of what, you know, the Godhead is. And I didn't know that God is still doing something like this. You know, we're talking about Brother Nye's testimony. So he decided to go over to Paris, and there in Paris, fellowshipping with Brother Jean-Marie and Brother Nice, they were having some meetings, you know, and even some of the primary churches, the pastor and some believer came and were in the meeting. So they were having great fellowship together. And that brother, Pastor Thomas, got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ the day before, I think the day after. And then yesterday was their last, not yesterday, the day before was the last of the meetings, and Brother Nice was invited by the Branham White Church, the pastor who came when I was there, who put a curse on me, like Marian get leprosy, I would get leprosy also, because I was opposing Brother Branham as she was opposing the prophet Moses, things like that. So I didn't say much about that, man. People put a lot of curse on me before, way back in the 80s, 70s, in the 90s, when Africa, they put all kinds of curse on me. They came to the hotel and even prophesied against me, and this and that will happen to me. I said, okay. I said, if it happens, then it's the Lord. If not, then you have something else in you. So leave it as it is. And so a man came, and Brother Nye said to me, Brother Gunn, I'm going to preach on the tongues. And he said, yesterday when I talked to him, he said, Brother Gunn, you should see what happened. The Lord was doing one mighty move in the congregation. The wife of the pastor was crying. You know. And while they were in the car talking, they were driving the car, several ministers was behind. And then Brother Nye said that I mentioned about the pastor from UK, how that in sincerity by fasting all that God led him to Brother Graham's website, you know, and how he was led to the truth, you know. So he wanted to say this so the brothers could understand, those pastors could understand that God is working a work, and you cannot deny truth. You don't see it, then it's another thing. But now after the discussion, Brother Nice told me, he said, you know what, Brother Graham, there was a believer. He wanted to know more after he sent Pastor Thomas to the bus terminal to go for him to take the bus back to UK. He said that he wanted to have more fellowship. So we discussed. And he said to him, okay, first thing I want to give you three questions. First question. Now tell you simple, tell you straight. Is Brother Branham God? The man says, no. Good. Brother Nye said, then, did Brother Nye make mistake? And Brother Nye said, he was silent. That is the part of it. If you said that Brother Branham was not God, then when you ask a simple question, did Brother Nye make mistake? Silent. After a while, then he said, okay, he made mistake. And Brother Nye asked him the third question. After 1963, you know, after 1963, many people claim that, you know, the Holy Spirit came, but that God correct, through Brother Branham, correct him and this and that, right? Do he make mistake? Then it is, the thing is this, what about the Word of God? If a man doesn't make mistake, then he's God, then what about the Word of God? You see, that's why things like that is simply in disguise. And that's the same thing over here in Singapore. We have the same problem, but the heart of the people are not established in the world. It's all about what Brother Branham said. What's the difference between the Methodists who say what Brother Wesley said, or what the Lutheran hold on to steal the Lutheran by Lutheran said? We thank God for all these men of God. Go back. Years back, way back, All these names we know well, but there are so many others that you have never heard of. In the days of Martin Luther, who did very wonderful work to bring life to the people. When the Reformation started, many of them we don't hear of. You know. And these are just men. Moses was a man. Elijah was a man. Paul was a man. And all men are like, they all have similar passion, failure, weaknesses. But we establish our heart not on the words of man, but the words of God. Paul said, let every man be a liar, but the word of God be the truth. Always remember that. But it's said for many religions, for many denominations. There's so much deception, as the Bible says, seducing spirit, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devil, being pulled away from the faith. And the biggest of all systems in Christianity is the Catholic system. And our people are being seduced. They don't even realize they're hugging to the words of a male man, the Pope. And the culture system is 99% all false. And they don't even realize that. And I believe some of you Catholic, ex-Catholic, was aware of it now. It's because by grace, God has given you the gospel to see. And you see the gospel, you want to hold on to it. Don't let the same seducing spirit come in again. So evil man just works worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But I'm glad the brother, nice said, we invited to go and preach to, in the pastor's church today, two services. Oh, we pray for them. But the service will start later than what we have. They're 6 hours behind us. You know. And brothers said there were people crying. They realized it. Sometimes they realize I'm wrong. You know, how many times will God deal with us? Sometimes I wonder, how many times will God deal with us? Deal with all this extremist. If you're not extreme, that's okay. But for those extreme, on the scale of 1 to 10, what about those in India, the S. Thomas group, who said, oh, Brother Branham was the Lord Branham Christ, that's the new name of Jesus Christ. Oh my. There are all kinds of things that is happening. Alright, so now, remember one thing, as we read 2 Timothy 3:13 and 14, the thing about it, he says, learn. Learn. From who? Paul told Timothy, you have learned it from me, obviously. What did you learn from? Because what Paul had, signs and wonder, therefore you believe what Paul teaches to be true? No. Even what Brother Bram said in here, you know what Brother Bram said, you know, those signs and wonder, those are the minor. You don't major in minor. You major in the major, and that's the major is the Word of God. But you know, charismatic isn't that they always major in the minor. Things are not necessary. You know, we have City Harvest with the MTV thing and pop star, pop with the wife and all. What is that got to do with the Word of God? Is that the program God gave it to you to outreach to young people? You may bring 1,000, 10,000 young people into a church and let them be happy, hear the gospel singing. There's a lot of gospel songs that are so interesting, right? And they give it the rock with everyone will do. But stop preaching the word of God and the 10,000 people will all leave and let me be a few. That's the way it goes. And that's what I believe. Graham told it, said the simple truth. I can be in a city for 6 days. Huh? 600,000 or I don't know how many thousand will come to the meeting in that
6,000 will give their hearts to the Lord at the altar. When he comes back 6 weeks, what happened? Will there be six, is it? Simple. You see, you preach whatever you can. But that doesn't mean that you preach to a big congregation, your church is big, God is with you. That's a lie. Because God is in simplicity. Jesus had only 12. Huh? Oh yeah, he said, but he got 120 also. Okay, 120. Oh, he also got 500. Okay, 500. Oh, but he also got 1,000, 2,000, 4,000. Yeah, those are people that are here. But then when he said, I, my Father, are one, everyone that I'm left him. And he asked the 12, are you going to? And Peter makes sense. Peter said, where do we go? You have the word of eternal life. Where do we go? Where would you go? Where would you go? Now that you have the word of eternal life, where would you go? Because the journey is not complete until we are called home. And we are not home yet. Isn't it true? Yeah. So, you know, this man called Napoleon Hill. Have you heard about a man named called Dale Carnegie? How many of you know Dale Carnegie? One, two. Wow. You don't know. Okay, Napoleon Hill. You also heard of him? Oh, wow, okay. Wow, I thought Dale Carnegie is supposed to be a great guy. Everybody should know him, you know. Dale Carnegie is a man who wrote the book about positive thinking. Back then in the 60s, 70s, wow, it was a big hit. You know, how you teach how to be thinking, you know, positive thinking. Huh? All you do is just cycle yourself positive thinking. And that's why it's what the man thinking is, my so easy. You know, but after Dale Carnegie, here is a man called Napoleon Hill. He has a book called Think and Grow Rich book. Think and Grow Rich. It's a salesman's tool. It's a good salesman tool. It will teach you how to be rich. To make your first million in 5 years, maybe. And the book has such a drive. All it is psychology, you know, indoctrinate, pumping the people. Yeah. And today we have the same thing, the charismatic Robert Schuller. Remember, we watched some of those videos. Years ago, when I talked about the false prophet, and then Juanita Bynum, Kenneth Huggins, and all these other guys. Yeah, they're all using psychology too. You know, positive thinking. God is a millionaire, dress like one, and you'll be like one, and all that stuff. It's all about positive thinking. Think rich, you'll be rich. Because your father is the multi-millionaire. If you want a car, visualize the car. That is Choi Yong-gi's teaching. You know Choi Yong-gi? Paul Choi Yong-gi, they changed him to David. Choi Yong-gi, I think in 1990, so November 92, he changed his name to David Choi Yong-gi. He has the biggest church in South Korea. You know, some say it's about half, nearly a million. Some say it's about actually half a million. I don't know. You know, and he had all this idea about the fourth dimension, visualization. You visualize that you have what you want, you will have it. So visualize a Mercedes Benz. Tomorrow you appear in front of your house. You know, all sorts of claim that they have. Yes. Just what you call visualization is incubation. You know, he has a very strange doctrine. But you know one thing, oh my, it's a battlefield. The devil went to it when he's idle. You know what I mean, idle mind? Yeah. And the Bible tells us one thing in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourself to God. Right? Then you resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you don't submit yourself to God, you're resisting the devil, won't work. You can say, Father, I resist the devil, how come he didn't go away? Because you didn't submit yourself to God in the first place. Obviously. It's the same thing about a rifle or a gun. If you don't take care of a gun, if you don't clean it up and oil it and maintain it, And you leave it for months and after years, you take it off and you try to fire it, you'll jam. Same thing. Same thing with our body. If you don't oil it, maintain it, what do you think? Now I remember my brother Henry years ago when he had a fractured collie. And then he went on a spin like this. Then after he was taken out, he cannot straighten this because, you know, he was there for, I think, 3 weeks. So he tried to open up. 6 weeks. So he cannot open up because this is already tightened. So he had got to go to the physio to pull. He said, if you go home, he pull by himself, throw a ball by himself, whatever. You see, if you don't use an arm, or you don't exercise what is faith, it won't work. Huh? Everything will get jammed up. So submit yourself first of all to God, to the Lord, then you resist the devil, then he will go. Right. Now, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. This is one verse I want you to know. It's what I've said this earlier on. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Oh Lord, I know that the word of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walk to direct his path. Right? Isn't it true? It is. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his path. Nobody is. Was it that every path he takes is God leading him? No. Man is not in himself. He chooses to always do something which he likes. The craving. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Now you look in a newspaper report. I mean, they report a lot of activities about prostitution now. Chinese national young lady came from China, paid $700, educate, rent a room for $300-something, and they go on the streets. And they're all over Geylang. And they're also all over in now in Orchard. So years ago, I told you when I was there, that was so many years ago, I couldn't believe it. It was right there in Orchard. Next to the embassy of Thailand. Thailand embassy, you know Thai embassy? What is the Shaw Towers? I was there with, I think, I can't remember who was with me. A minister was with me. I don't remember, it was Brother Osa or Brother James. We were walking there at evening time, you know. So I was a little disturbed because we were window shopping or something. And I was walking a little ahead, and here came a Chinese young lady came up to me, asking me about it. And I told him, he said, I speak in English because my memory is not good enough, but I hope that she understood what I'm trying to say. I said, you know you can be arrested for doing this. You have no right coming here to do that. And she moved away. You know, we have this character all walking all over Singapore. And that's a great temptation for a lot of young men to go and follow them. And this is what they have been doing when I have been there in Hawaii first time, Waikiki. And now Singapore has become a place like this. Too free for all these foreigners to come in as a visitor and solicit for money in this way. Terrible. I don't know what the government is doing anyway now with this. No wonder here the Bible says it's true. It is not a man to direct his own path properly. We always go the wrong way many times. Like sheep have gone astray. And no wonder Jesus says straight is the gate. Narrow the way. Few there have been to enter in. But the opposite is the broad and wide road. Many enter it so easily. And get trapped. First Thessalonians 3:2. And send Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. So as to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith. Well, that's what ministers are sent for. Okay? To establish you, to comfort you in your faith. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine, for it is a good thing that our heart be established with grace. Now with me, which have not profit them, they have been occupied therein. That means don't think about eating too much. Think about eating the word of God more than you think about eating your food, your sashimi or your wagyu. 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth, not in past truth, in the present truth. What God has given us is a continuing of what was given to us before. And God is always unfolding, guiding us, showing us more. Huh? When the world gets darker, the word of God has to get brighter. Isn't that true? Not for the world, but for you. It's obvious. And as you all know, when you're in the forest, you're lost in the forest. There's no light anywhere until you see a little light in the distance. Now you follow the light. The closer it gets to the light, the brighter it will be, because you're heading home, so to speak. Heading to a place that is safe for you, instead of being out there in the dark. You see. So the closer you walk to the light, and closer with the light, the brighter the light will be. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 18. We're going to close. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 18. And so, you're breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he find any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, here is Paul. Before he was Paul, a Pharisee. No, that's the point about the Pharisee. When you have a pharisaical mind, it's a dangerous mind. A mind that breathes out fire. If you have a mind like a jihadist, perhaps. Paul was thinking what he was doing was of God. He was his man who loved God, yes. But he had no true revelation. He didn't know that all that the body of books that he had been studying was pointing to this Messiah, Jesus Christ. You know. So he thought he was doing God a service, and so he wanted to desire letter to go to Damascus, to the synagogue, to find out whoever that were in that place that believed in the way. This way means the way, there's only one called the way, and it is the faith. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth and the life. So people who believe in Jesus Christ is the believer of the way. You understand? Are you in the way? Yeah, we are in the way. Not in the way as to hindrance, huh? In the way as in the way of the faith. Okay? So he went out there and he said to the able man and woman, in verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a bright light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice say unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would you have done me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man, his journey with him, stood speechless, the hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Now, this is one thing I want you to know. Saul was on the journey there when the bright light stopped him on the way and burned his eye. You know, one thing about the light of God is that if you have not been born again, the bright light will kill you, or blind you, so to speak. Huh? Because Saul was such a wicked person, so to speak, huh? Because he thinking God, he was doing God a service. A lot of people thinking that they are doing God a service and they became wicked men, actually. If you do not know God, it is one thing. But you are saying, I'm doing this service in the name of God. That's whole thing different. So when the light was shone upon him, he went blind. He opened his eye, couldn't see. Because why? His eye was burnt. He couldn't see a thing. The whole cornea was completely burnt. He was in total darkness. Now, just imagine that. When you are in total darkness physically, you can't move. You don't know where things are, right? You have to grope around. So just imagine if you are spiritually blind. It's the same. You're still groping around for truth or whatever light you want to see. But now you're blind. Christ brought him to let him experience total helplessness. You understand what I'm saying? Total helplessness. That now you need him. And yet Christ did not even heal him there and there. He wanted him to see whether he's obedient to his word. Because Christ already told him, I'm the Lord. I'm the one whom you persecute. My eye was open. So now he arose. And he was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am Lord. I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city which is called Street. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed. And have seen in the vision a man named Ananias coming. And putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of by many of these men how much evil you have done to the saints at Jerusalem. So you can see how, you know, Saul is considered an evil man because of what he had done. Alright? And he have authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go your way. For he is a chosen vessel to me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake now. That's the opposite now. Christ is going to use him, Saul, for his glory, but Saul, who become Paul, will have to suffer. That's not fair. But you know one thing? Paul was such a man that's so full of zealousness for the Lord that God could use him. That even in his suffering, he realized it was for the glory of God. You understand that? You know? That's why the Bible said, God, when he was a hurdle before you, if you go through a trial, God knows how much trial you can take. He will not let those trials overwhelm you. Huh? But with that trial, when you overcome it, it will give you a stronger faith to go on. You see? And Saul is just a man like that. Because Saul, once he seen the light, they blinded him. And Ananias told him that he will find him in a place called Street. Go to the street that's called Street. Because they have taken Saul to a place called Street. Saul is now going to be straightened up and walk straight. There is a place called Straight. And I think that's kind of easy coincidence. Paul is now walking straight. You know. And you see, God walked both ways. His son saw that and saw see a vision about Ananias coming. God told Ananias to go, and I said, that's a madman there, no? God said, no worry. I'm dealing with you. He would be my servant. Huh? Remember what we have about this problem about the cloud thing? I sent you the email. Huh? People have talked so much about the cloud. They talk so much about cloud until the anti-Brennan A believer fell away from it. Now I take it, Brother Abraham, about the cloud. Then it was a rocket and all these things. And I was telling, even in Fiji, I was telling the brothers, on the Skype, that whether it is the rocket up there sent by NASA, and whether it was the way Bob made it, I believe I said that God booked both sides. I said that even as a cloud up here, up there in the heavens, if it is the rocket, and Bob said that the angel came and then went up there from this cloud, from his point of view, that's what he saw. You understand? And I sent you the email, a man, a brother in America who now put it out, for sale, 2 CD, but of course you have seen the little trailer, enough to see how that the cloud moved over to that place where Brother Ben was. So God will always work on both sides. You see? And God can use anything to his own advantage. And, blinded the eye or confused the mind of intellect. Isn't it true? Yes. If something happened outside, and it comes into the room and becomes something supernatural here, so somebody can say something happened outside, but if God were to create something here, so what is that? You understand what I'm saying? You see? Alright? And so here we see here, then Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul. Wow, now you find Brother Saul. Because God told him that he's going to be my servant. Alright, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way thou came, have sent me, that thou might receive thy light, thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eye as it were scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and were baptized. So when Ananias prayed for him, the scale that was burnt, not the cornea that was burned, became scale, right? It drops off. So he had a new cornea, and he could see well. But of course the pain retained. God did not remove the pain to keep him humble, and how wonderful it is. Once you're blind, you see nothing. Now when the light comes again, you see. Huh? You understand that? The true light of God will blind many people. But yet, at the same time, it will give light to those that will see. The Word of God is a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It cuts to separate and it cuts to condemn. The light of God is the same. That's what it is. It shines. One part, one will see, another will be blinded. Alright, so now, in all things like here we see Saul's case, his motive was good. But he was good intention, but did the wrong thing. But let us do the right thing and then have the wrong intention, it's still a wrong motive. So whatever we intend to do, make sure that the thing is that we must have our mind in the Word of God. Or in the street, we call street. As long as our heart is in the street that is called straight, they will be established. Once our heart is established in the Word, no matter what, we must learn to walk straight. And we will. Because with the heart that is established in the Word of God, we will not be moved. So recline your heart, recline yourself on the breast of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Recline yourself on His bosom, just as John the beloved did when Jesus Christ was among them. My beloved is mine and I am his, and his banner over me is love. So in this world we walk, we continue to carry on the light that we receive from the Lord. Don't let the devil shake you. Don't let the devil shake any one of us, because we are not far from home. I could see the Father standing at the door. And there is a light in the window. And soon, we'll be there. And the door will be opened, and we will enter into the place where thousands of saints will sit at the table and fellowship with Him for all eternity. Amen. God bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Father. Thank you for life eternal. We bless you, O Lord, for your grace, for your mercy in our life. So, Lord, help us, Father, in this life now, Lord, and all this problem we have, and we commit all things to you and cast it upon you, Lord, for we know you care for us. Heal all the wounds and the things that, oh Lord, that transpire. We commit all those that are involved and those that are in pain into your hands. We thank you for all the love that you have for us, Father. We commit all this to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless each and every one of us, Father, Lord. Continue, oh Lord, to guide us in this path called straight. And heartfully be established in the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.